Welcome to another episode of the Money and Business Hero podcast, where we talk about the three pillars of financial success: money mindset, money management, and money making. My name's Florian Fritz, and my guest today, Leland Gross, has been spending 5 years in corporate financial advising setting. And after that, he launched PeaceLink Financial Planning with the vision of providing financial advice differently, without commissions or conflicts of interest, through a focus on clients' values. Leland builds a path to the life they desire and specializes in helping self-employed individuals and families optimize their business finances and use that to further their dreams for their personal life. Sounds great. Very much looking forward to that conversation. Welcome to the show, Leland.
Thanks for having me, Florian. I'm excited for today's conversation.
Yeah, well, let's start with your story. How did you get into financial advising at all? And then why did you switch and start your own business, your own company?
Yeah, I did not study finance in college. When I went to college, I actually studied international relations. I thought I was going to work, you know, in the government, in the State Department. And after my 4 years in college, I moved to the Washington, D.C. area and did a year-long leadership and personal development program. It was really extensive, but within that program, I had an internship at, you know, in a State Department internship. And so I was doing international relations work and really hated it. And realized while I find the topic really interesting, the work itself was very confined to a 9-to-5 desk. I was reading lots of reports and just summarizing, and the quality of life behind it was not bringing me to life. And I've always kind of lived by this core value that, you know, work should be a tool to further our life and further our quality of life. It shouldn't be the thing that sucks our life dry. So I started rethinking what should I do? And in that season of life, I had some older mentors and friends who were financial advisors, and what I saw from them was that they were able to leave an impact on people. They were really helping people with their finances. They had a flexible job, so they were also able to be involved with their family. They were coaching their kids' sports. They were home for dinner every night, and they were able to be involved in their community. They were volunteering with this program I was doing. And so I kind of saw that this career path afforded them, you know, impact and lifestyle according to their values. And so I didn't know much about finance. I started reading books and I approached one of them and said, hey, what would it look like? Would you be willing to, you know, teach me? Could I get trained up? And they said yes. So that's when I got into kind of a corporate financial advising role. And I am grateful for that role. I learned a lot. They, you know, I got all my teaching and licensures and certifications and had a lot of opportunity there. But as time went on, I began to realize that money touches all areas of our life. And this job was only really looking at investments, insurance, annuities, products that are really expensive, really complicated, and really only touch one area of someone's life. And when I would do comprehensive planning and I was working with people on their estate plan or their real estate holdings or their debt management, or just sitting with them and their stress or their fears or their money mindsets, I kept getting my wrist slapped by my boss saying, you know, you have to open up more accounts, you have to do more and more and more. And over time, that just eroded my desire to do that job and to kind of stay in that environment where I felt like we're not really leaving the impact we can with people. There's so much more to people's heart around money, to people's life around money. And so I ended up beginning to say, how can I do this differently? What else is out there? Is there a way to be a quote unquote financial advisor, to sit with someone truly comprehensively and walk with them in all areas of their finances so they can ultimately build a life where they can thrive? Because we have lots of resources. We have our money, we have our time, we have our health, we have our energy, we have our relationships. And these are all resources we can use to build a wonderful life for ourselves. And money is one key area that people just don't know how to do that and have a lot of beliefs and, you know, narratives around. And so that's when I launched PeaceLink a couple years ago, where we just charge a flat subscription fee and we will work with people comprehensively. And there's no area that's off limits. We'll walk with you through your budget, through your money mindset, through your marriage with money, to, you know, your investments and stuff like that. But we don't get paid to set up accounts or sell you expensive investments that I wouldn't want myself or my family invested in. So that's, yeah, I would say that's my story all the way through.
Awesome. Great. Thank you for sharing. Now you focus on small business owners, entrepreneurs, right? And their families.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what are the keys to be financially successful as a business owner?
Well, there's a lot of things that are at your disposal as a business owner. I mean, what I find is most people don't go into business because they love working nights and weekends and trying to figure out how to pay their own taxes and navigate all the complexities of entrepreneurship, right? But at least in the United States, our tax code is built to benefit you. So it's really complicated when you own your own business. It provides a ton of complication, which can create a lot of anxiety and overwhelm for people. But I find any time in finance where there's complexity, there's also a lot of opportunity. And so what I tell people is, hey, keys to success are really getting clear about what you're trying to build in your business, both personally and professionally. Because again, if you're just running to build a business, you'll end up working nights, weekends, holidays, and your personal life will deteriorate. So we need to get really clear about that. And then separating your business and personal finances. So often I see people intermingling these things and it's a mess. And then their taxes aren't efficient. So they're paying too much to the government. Their cash flow feels tighter than it really is, or feels more abundant than it is. So they're overspending in their business. And so I tell people, once we can get really clear about what you're building, we can also separate out and say, here's your business filings, here's your business accounts, here's all the cash flow. This is how we, you know, systematize taxes, systematize expenses, and then we can pay you. And really, once we make this business machine incredibly efficient, it becomes a cash cow to fuel your personal life. Because again, we become business owners because we either want to leave an impact through the business or because we're running on the promise of more freedom or a lifestyle, upward potential, all the beautiful pieces of business. But typically it's the beautiful pieces of business that enhance our personal life too. So how do we, you know, get really clear about what is your business? What is your business doing and how is it structured so that we can get as much out of that as possible to ultimately build the life that you desire?
So you think it is, or you say it is possible to actually work a successful business, prepare for your future, retirement, whatever that is, and enjoy your life?
Yes. I think people fall into the e-myth, which says like, I'm going to start a business, I'm going to have all this time. And then they start a business and they're like, I'm working harder and longer and I'm doing so much more, I have less time. But there is a way that if you get really clear on your mindset, on your vision for your life in the future and your life today, we can walk that line well. And I think that's what's hard is so often you have people who are over preparing for the future and killing themselves today for a future that they aren't guaranteed, or the opposite. They're the vagabond, they're the wanderlust person who says, I'm not guaranteed the future, so I'm living for today. But it's like, well, if the future comes, you need to be prepared. So we have to hold both in tandem. There's a lot of financial advice out there that would say only prepare for the future, prepare for the future. And people do that and it fosters a scarcity mindset where they feel like, I don't have enough for today. They're just stressed. I'll never have enough. Prepare for the future, prepare for the future. I'm not doing it right. I don't know what I'm doing. But if we can really walk the line of saying, how do we structure this in a way that you can live according to your values and build a great life now while also preparing for the future, which a business is a great tool to be able to do that. If we can walk that line, you're going to have a real abundance mindset and you're going to feel a lot more freedom with your money.
So how do I, let's get a bit deeper into that. How do I prioritize between planning for the future, paying debt, planning my taxes, investing, whatever, all these things that the money, all those money topics that there are out there and that we have to think about. How do we prioritize? How do we structure that?
Yeah. And as you know, that is, I do not want to send out a cop out answer. It is very personalized. It depends. Sometimes it's, hey, we really need to tackle all of this high interest credit card debt. Other people, it's like, hey, you have student loans. We want to pay those down, but it's a low interest rate. We can systematically pay that down while we also save and invest for the future. A lot of my planning goes into cash flow. Like if your money coming in and going out every month, that is the bloodline to your body. Like if we're building a healthy body, blood through the veins is what you need. You could have all the healthy organs, but if there's no blood going through them, they're not doing anything for you. And so that is your cash flow and your budget. And so saying, all right, this is what you're taking home every month. And how do we percentage that out to say, to know that you're saving enough, know that you're investing enough, and know that we have a large enough amount for your current fixed expenses and your fund money. So I use the 50-30-20 principle. I didn't come up with it. I'm not the like founder of it. I do think for my clients who've been able to achieve it, it works really well, which says we're going to look at your fixed expenses. So your mortgage, your rent, your car insurance, your cell phone payment, your utilities, the things you have to pay every month. And we're going to make sure that that total amount is under 50% of your take home pay. That also helps us make decisions to say, you know, can I afford a bigger house? Well, where's your fixed expenses at? If they're at 35% of your take home pay, well, yeah, we have some wiggle room. You can afford more. If you're at 60-70% of your income is your fixed expenses, well, we don't have enough extra to really be able to live your life and save and achieve your other goals. So we kind of use that 50% as a guidepost and for all of your fixed expenses. Fixed expenses are also passive. We don't actively decide every month how much I'm going to spend on my mortgage. I made that decision once and I just pay that every month. So we put your passive fixed expenses on auto pay, and we set that aside at 50%. 20% is going to be your savings and investments. That can also be your debt pay down money. So these are the resources we use to pay off your debt and to save and to really build your net worth. So I believe net worth is the truest view of your financial health. If you have a big investment account, but you have a lot of debt, I don't care. Like, your big investment account doesn't make you rich. At the end of the day, your net worth is your true view of financial health. And whether you're paying down debt or you're saving and investing, both of those activities raise your net worth. And so we want to use that 20% to say, what's our priority? Is paying down debt going to move the needle more, or is saving and investing? What are the interest rates? What are the risks? What are the goals? And that's kind of where we prioritize debt, long-term, short-term, is in that 20% of your money, which frees up the remaining 30% of your take-home pay to be your living expenses. You want to go out to eat? Great. You want to go to coffee? Great. You want to buy a plane ticket? Awesome. I'm not going to nitpick you on how you decide to spend your discretionary income, but I want to make sure you have discretionary income so that you can go on a date. You can, you know, spend time with your family and do an activity and feel free with it. This is your free to do whatever you want to do money. And what I found is when we can work people into this structure, it's not perfect. Rarely are people exactly at 50, 30, and 20. But if we can use it as a tool to say, hey, you're saving 10%, we want to save more. Hey, your fixed expenses are at 60%. How can we free that up? Typically, that gets us in a rhythm where people have money to pay their bills, live their life now while also preparing for the future. That was long-winded, but that's kind of my deep structure for that.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Money management is so important. So yeah, thank you for the breakdown and a little simple system that I think everyone can follow. Mm-hmm. Now, you said you also take care or work with your clients on their money mindset, mm-hmm. which I've never heard any financial advisor do yet. So how and why and what do you do with them?
Yeah, well, as you know, many advisors who are paid commissions or paid on the products they sell can't get paid on people's mindset. And so it's not profitable for them. But for advisors like you and myself, who that conflict of interest is gone, we're freed up to really help people in a powerful way. And our mindset is so important because when we grow up, we are imprinting belief systems just by what we see and experience from either our parents or our guardians or the world around us. I love to ask people, like a practical in one of my first meetings is, what was your first memory of money? Or how did you see money treated growing up? And you get tons of things like, we had a lot of money, but my parents always felt stressed about it. Or, you know, my parents filed bankruptcy at a certain age, and these key moments. Or I remember when my dad took a new job and we moved into a much bigger house and I changed schools. And we imprint these experiences, these memories that write our belief system around money. Is money safe? Is money doable? I have lots of clients who, through whatever reason, were grafted with a belief that they'll always screw up money, that money's too complicated to understand. And so they live in fear of whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to mess it up, which isn't true. We all have the agency to learn and grow and be able to master money. But when we grow up, we kind of live out of, once we're adults, either a full cup or an empty cup of that experience growing up. I either want to repeat it or I don't want to repeat it. So we either are trying to repeat or not repeat, and we're living with all of these narratives around, you know, money's something that to be feared, money's something to be used, money's something I'll never have, money's something for these people over there and not me. All these narratives that then subconsciously affect how we treat money, how we manage our money, and how I need to give advice. So a reason I really harp there is because if you, Florian, are my client and you are riddled with a scarcity mindset that everything is so complex and scary and you're going to make a mistake that's going to ruin your life, you're going to do one thing and the tax people are going to come and, you know, arrest you, like if you're just living in fear because of the scarcity, because it felt so overwhelming growing up, I now have to create advice and deliver it in such a way that fosters freedom, that gives you agency, that educates you, that gives you that feeling of, I understand this and I can control this. So it's important because oftentimes I feel like good advice goes unacted upon because of people's mindset, because of people's internal stories. It's great advice. It's advice that works, but it never gets implemented. And good advice that's not implemented is useless. And so I think it's really important from that perspective. And lastly, no matter how much money you have, that doesn't impact your mindset. I know people with lots of money who have scarcity mindsets. I know people with very little money who have abundance mindsets, and vice versa. This is not something that actually has to do with the dollar sign in your bank account. But, and it's something that, if corrected, if we move you from scarcity to abundance in your mindset, you're going to feel that feeling we all want to experience with our money. And that, again, doesn't totally have to do with the fact that now you have $1 million that you didn't have before. It means you feel peace, you feel control. And a lot of that is mindset work. So I have a series of questions I walk people through. One of them, like I said, was first memories. Another one is, you know, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you agree with this comment? I can handle anything that comes my way financially. This is from a psychological study that talks about agency. People who feel really confident in that feel like I have control over my finances. People who don't feel like money is something that's out of control. Again, that question had nothing to do with, is that true? Maybe you have the money and the insurance to handle anything that comes your way financially, but if you answer low to that and low in confidence, we need to work on that. We need to talk through, like, when was a time in your life that you made a financial decision that impacted you positively, kind of increasing that agency. And the last one is, how far out do you think financially? Days, weeks, months, years, decades, and generations. The longer someone looks out, the healthier they feel. The shorter they look out, the more scarcity and fearful they feel. So if someone only thinks about their money in terms of months, and I'm talking about decades, we're not going to click. A better question would be, what would, if we had a successful engagement this time next year, what would that look like? Stretching them from months to years, stretching them from years to decades, decades beginning to stretch their money mindset out longer. So that was also long-winded, but that's kind of my thoughts on money mindset.
Awesome. Great. Thanks a lot. Now, you're still making money with it. Although you're taking time for your clients, you're still making money with it and you're dealing with money. How important is money for you, Leland?
It's an interesting question. I would say it's really important. It's not necessarily how I define success in my life, if that makes sense. I don't know that success is going to come from the dollars in my bank account, but I would say money is a really important tool to achieve success. So to me, success as a word would be more time with my family, more time with my community, the people that I love, the people that I walk in life with deeply, and being free to leave an impact in multiple areas, both through my work professionally and personally. And I think money is a great resource to be able to free me up to do that. Because with my money, I can buy time. You know, I can purchase the lifestyle we want to be able to live. So I would say it is an incredibly important tool, along with, you know, my relationships, my health, my time. So it is really important because it's a tool that I use to achieve success.
Okay, great. Thank you. Beautiful. And my favorite question of all, what is your best wealth building tip for our audience?
I know you asked me this in the pre-show and there's so many good things. I wish I could just like take my brain and throw it into your listeners' brains. But I would say earlier I mentioned that if you're an entrepreneur, separating your business and personal and getting really clear and systematic with your business will really free you up from a bookkeeping perspective, from a tax perspective. We have saved people tens of thousands of dollars just by saying, let's separate your business and your personal, and let's get your, once it's separated, really getting clear about what's a business expense, what are your taxes, and separating that out as its own machine, using your business as a cash cow machine to generate more cash flow for you personally, because again, cash flow is the blood in your veins and your business is a huge tool to create more cash flow. So I think that would be my tip, is just separate it and then optimize it.
Okay, great. Totally agree on that. I have that on my 7 biggest mistakes list that small business owners make. Yeah. Not separating those two. So totally agree on that one. Thank you. Now, if somebody would like to learn more about you, your company, your service, how can they find you? How can they reach out to you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Anybody can reach out to me. You can find me at my website, which is PeaceLink FP. So that's PeaceLink, F as in financial, P as in planning.com. And then you can find me on most major social media platforms. Specifically, my two biggest are Instagram and LinkedIn. And those are all either at my name, Leland Gross, LelandGross, or at PeaceLink FP. So my website.com is also all my Instagram or all my social media handles, PeaceLink FP.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll share those links with the show notes so everybody can just click on them and find you.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close this for today? Did we forget anything important?
Thanks for having me on here. No, everything was great. I love what you're doing through the Money and Business Hero podcast.
Awesome. Great for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review so that other people can find the show easier. And see you on the next show. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Money and Business Hero podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and you got some value from it. Please take a moment to leave a rating or even better, a review. That helps awesome people like you to find the show and me to produce more and even better episodes. And don't forget to subscribe. If you want to get regular free tips, tools, techniques on how to build wealth and financial freedom, or simply how to improve your financial life in all three pillars of financial success, join my free Money Hero Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/moneyhero. Find the link in the description, or find out more on the website moneyheroacademy.com. See you there.